The Braingasm Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. To get a free 30-day trial and one free audiobook of your choosing, go to www.audibletrial.com/braingasm or click the link on braingasmpodcast.com. Help us help them help you. The rare win-win-win. Hey, Cheska, do you ever buy anything on Amazon?
Well, yes, Ben, I do.
Did you know that you can go to braingasmpodcast.com right now, click the banner ad for Amazon, and everything you buy, we get a kickback from?
Really? What was that URL again?
That's braingasmpodcast.com. Click the banner ad at the top, go to Amazon, and everything you buy helps support the Braingasm Podcast. And the best thing is, it doesn't cost you a dime. Warning. Don't watch the finale of How I Met Your Mother. Just trust me on that one.
The Braingasm Podcast.
And welcome to the Braingasm Podcast, episode number 135. Sorry, my voice is a bit hoarse today, which is great. Whenever my voice gets hoarse, there's always that thing where you're like, you're getting a cold or something, or, you know, I had a show last night, so it was a bit rough, and I was like screaming a lot because I scream a lot during my shows. Actually, I scream more after my shows than during my shows.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. So my voice is a little rough this morning, which actually makes it sound better. So I'm Clooneying right now. Yeah, this is what I call it. I'm just Clooneying. Hey, what's up? Clooneying. Yeah. It's always great. I was listening to some of those voice actors, and they were talking about, like, whenever they get a cold, they're like, they call their, like, hey, can we record something right now? Because I think this is going to be good. Like, because it does. It's funny that way that it's, like, the only ailment you get that actually improves part of your body. Like, you never get any other, like, sickness, and you're like, oh, man, I got six-pack abs. You know what I mean? Just, like, it doesn't work that way with any other ailment. But for some reason with sore throats or something or, like, raspiness, it just makes your voice better.
It does. I don't know, like, I always sound really weird. I sound like Dr. Girlfriend when I get sick, so.
Oh, that would be funny to hear you like Dr. Girlfriend when you. But the problem is, when you get sick, you never tell me until I'm saying, hey, let's about to record.
Well,
and then you're
I'm
like,
sorry.
Guess what?
I don't I feel can't. Like I need to be like, oh, Ben, I'm like really fucking sick right now. I can't record.
Might be
because
a good
then,
idea.
Like, if I tell you early in the week, you'd be like, so, you feeling better enough to record? No.
No, but I think that's a reasonable question. Like, sorry for asking questions. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys something funny. Okay, so before the show, I messaged Cheska to tell her that I was set up and ready. And her response was, it's brilliant. Her response was, I literally just walked in. Let me pee first. I'll set up in a moment. Like,
well, because like, first you text me in class and I'm like trying to watch these presentations of these portfolios that I have to sit and fucking like, try and review, and he's like, well, I can record anytime. Like, I'm in class right now, I'll be home around 1. Stop and get coffee on my way home because I'm like kind of fading. As soon as I like step foot over the threshold, my phone goes off and it's you.
Okay.
Saying, well, I'm set up, I'm all ready to go. I'm like, I really gotta fucking pee.
Okay, now to be fair, I did text you at exactly 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Which,
fucking one, I said one itch.
Yeah, which to be fair was a complete coincidence. But that's the funniest thing. It's like, I love how you ascribe that to me. You're just like, I was in class watching presentation. As if I know this. I'm sitting in my kitchen just having my protein shake. And I'm just like texting, oh, hey, I can record whenever, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, ugh. But yeah, every time I ask Cheska anything, I've learned this is a thing. If you guys ever meet Cheska in person, never ask her a question. Never ask her what she thinks about anything or if she thinks we should do so, because she will take that as a like dictator like command.
Because I feel like whenever you tell me like to do something, it's like right stat now.
No, and that's the funniest thing. You responded like I was like, hey, let's go. Hurry the fuck up.
Like, it was more like, okay, just give me a minute. I really got to pay.
And I just got this message back and I'm like, and I started like, okay, I'm fairly certain I started my message with LOL or there was an LOL. It ended with LOL. Like just like, and all of a sudden I get this message back and it's as if I just like I had your cat like in a over top of a cliff and I'm like, if we don't record the next 50 seconds, I will drop this cat off of this cliff. Just like, Another funny thing about Cheska is that she apologizes more than I do, and I'm Canadian.
I know. It's fucking weird. I
always say that I'm Canadian because I feel bad for things that I have no control over whatsoever, and I apologize for everything. You take that to an absurd degree. Like, I'll be telling you about something that happened in my life that was unfortunate that literally you did not have. There was no, like, if you were to Venn diagram of you and involvement in this thing, it would be like one circle would be you, and then on like up in like 40 pages later, there would be a circle to that thing. I tell you about it, and you're like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, you didn't do anything.
Well, like, the only reason why I apologize is like, oh, I'm sorry. That really sucks, like, having to hear about it. Like, oh, like, your dog died. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry, yeah, like, that it happened. Not like, I'm sorry that I caused your fucking dog to die.
It's just so funny because, honestly, like, if you were to just read my side of, your text to me, it would sound like I am the biggest douchebag and, like, I'm the biggest dickwad dictator in the entire world. Like, I'm such a diva. You're constantly apologizing for everything. Like, you're constantly, okay, I'll be there in a minute, all right? Just calm down. Just, like, and I'm sitting here in my underwear just being like, what the fuck? Like, because I'm like the most easygoing dude you'll ever meet. Just like, I'm like,
what's wrong with
whatever. Like, yeah. In the interest of full disclosure, this is one of our famous, when we sit around before the shows and we're like, hey, what do you want to talk about this week? And we're just like, oh, what do you want to talk about this week? And I'm like, let's do it. It's just like, let's just go. Those are some of our best shows. Honestly, I would love to go back. I wish we should have kept a running tally of which ones they were.
If we have to go back and listen, like, it'd be kind of funny.
It would be. That would be a funny game show for us, is to try and go back and look at our old episodes and figure out which ones we had planned and which ones just happened.
Because, I remember, like, you used to, like, we had a Google group thing where you'd email, show notes. And it's, like,
used to be such a douche.
Some of the show notes would be, like, question mark.
It's still not bad. The best one was Ryan's show notes from that one. Do you remember that really early episode? I'm trying to remember. Oh, God. They were there. Because Ryan wasn't there that day. And in his place, he submitted show notes, and we spent almost the entire episode just making fun of his show notes.
It was hilarious.
They were, yeah. They were legendary. I used to plan everything on the show. We used to have, like, regimented segments. Like, we used to have, it was three originally. It was three segments, and it was like, oh, we got to have three segments. We got two breaks, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, then, so we used to have the two breaks. Okay, we have to schedule the breaks.
Yeah, and then as the show has gone on, my level of giving a fuck has not. But this is the thing: my level of giving a fuck towards the show's content has gone nowhere. It's exactly I still care deeply about putting a funny show together and making a good show, but my level of giving a fuck as far as, like, what that constitutes has gone so through the floor. It's not even funny. Like, it's the strangest thing when you think about where we started from now and you think about where we are now, which is where, like, before, if it had been like, guys, we have nothing to talk about, it would have been like, oh, we need to have a meeting. Like, we need to address this. This is fucking serious. This is like Watergate. Like, this is going down. Now it's just, hey, we don't have anything to talk about. Fuck it. Let's see what happens. Now it's just, and this is some of my favorite shows. Do you remember the last time we did that?
I do.
We had it last time we did that. Well, last week was half and half. The tattoo thing
half and half,
just
yeah.
happened. The science episode the week before.
Yeah.
Completely pulled that out of our asses. Like,
that's true, but it was really good.
It was, and I enjoyed the hell. But literally, like, that show, we had no intention of talking about anything to do with science whatsoever. Like, we were just, I don't remember what we had planned that show. Those are the other funny, my favorite ones, is when we do have a show planned. And then we just never get to it. We just, like, we start talking about something and then it just goes. Like, I look down at the clock and I was like, holy shit, we've been talking for 45 minutes. Those are the best ones.
Those are the best ones. I don't know. Like, I always like the more relaxed ones because it just feels like it flows a lot better. Like, even if we have, like, really no actual set topic, we always seem to find something.
We always do.
We always seem to find something.
It's always something. It's just, like, it's such a weird thing about us. Like, it's like we have good chemistry for that. It's just like we just feed off of each other and it just works. It's like if you hear us before the show, we don't sound like this. Like, we're just, yeah. If you hear us talk, it's like, oh, yeah? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I'll be working on something. Like, yeah. And I'll take like 45 seconds to say yeah. And it'd be like, mm-hmm. She'd ask me a question, but yeah,
well,
yeah, no, no, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Did I lose you? Did I disconnect? Did, like, Skype just, like, totally eat a dick?
Nope. I'm just barely paying attention. I'm just like,
Ben's just doing something else.
Ben's doing something else. Them titties ain't going to suck themselves. That's a line from a joke I have now.
My God.
That's a good joke, actually. I enjoy it quite a bit. It's it's a joke for my act. It's not in the DVD, so I can talk about it. It's a joke. I was you know those stick figure families they have on the back of cars?
I hate those.
I saw one, and the joke is, I'm not going to tell the whole joke, but I saw one, and this is the premise of the joke, the setup. This is the totally real premise of the joke that I took to a fictionally crazy degree. Was I was driving down the road, and I saw one, but it was just a baby. It was just, there's no other family, just a baby, no other family members. It was just one sticker. It was a baby. And so, yeah, the joke is that I say, like, I know, obviously I know that there was probably a family in the car, but part of me wants to believe that it was some kind of weird sentient baby. It was just driving a minivan, down the street. Just at like 8 o'clock on the, driving down Welland Avenue at 8 o'clock in the morning.
God.
Yeah, it's a good
just
joke.
A baby behind like the big wheel of an SUV.
It's a good joke. I'm pretty happy with it. I'm that's the funny is like it's like whenever you do like a recording, you know, in comedy, whenever you do a recorded set, nowadays there's the expectation that once you've done that recorded set, you'll stop doing the jokes from the recording. Like the idea that oh you've recorded this, this is done. Now it's you need to come up with new material.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's not a problem for me because I'm not famous at all, but for bigger comics, then that's a serious concern for them. It's like, oh, now I've got to make an entire, especially for guys who tour as they're living.
Oh yeah. Then that's probably a lot harder.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you're thrown out and you got to do, you got to do three shows a night for a weekend and friggin' Little Rock and you just have nothing to do. It's like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
So I do try to do that where after I've told jokes in a, on a DVD or something like that, I try, I mean, I still do them, but I try to really ramp up the writing process once that's been done. So I've been doing that. I've got a bunch of new jokes that I've been crafting and I've been getting some good responses. So I was telling you before the show, I think I killed last night in front of a crowd of six people.
Oh my God. I was like, what the fuck? Six people.
Yeah. It's a very odd feeling because usually like you can kill in front of like 45 people pretty easily. It's not that hard to do because it's like laughter is such a like a contagious thing. If one person's laughing, then two people start laughing maybe because you get a few people who don't understand the joke, but they'll be laughing because they don't want to seem like they don't get it. And then it just spreads. And like in every joke you tell, if you have enough people in the room, every joke you tell, someone will laugh at it. So the big shows are actually the easiest ones. The shows that are tough are when you're at a bar on a Tuesday night and and there's like eight people in the audience and none of them want you there. If you can get a giggle, if you can get a smile, if you can get one of them to turn their head for 4 seconds and look at you and not want to like look like get the fuck away from me.
Mm-hmm.
You've killed. That's like you are a god. And so yeah. So last night I got up on stage and I was telling Jeff Stroop, I was like, this is probably the worst set list because there's a lot of new stuff. And I was like, this is probably the worst set list I've ever written in my entire life. And I just get up there and I just start. I don't know. And it was weird. I just started telling some jokes. I started riffing. I brought a beer on stage, which I never do. I never bring alcohol on stage with me. It's a weird thing, and I never do it. And I did it for the first time last night just because I didn't give a fuck last night. It was like I knew it was going to be a train wreck, so I was like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to lean into it. But I get up there, and I tell my first joke, and it just – like demolishes the audience. Like the audience is, I just get up there and tell one joke and they're just like, they're losing their minds. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And so I just start rolling with it. Like, I'm like, okay, like this is fun. And then, so yeah. So, and I started, you know, I affected a bit of more of a dickish personality and, it was, yeah. And it was like the crowd, I had them in my palm of my hand. Like everything they were like, you know, you got a crowd when they're laughing at the setups.
Mm-hmm.
When you know they always laugh at punchlines, like they always laugh at like the joke. But when you say like, so I was driving down the road the other day and I saw a car and someone starts giggling because they're laughing at the joke that was before. That's when you know you got them. Like that's when you're like, oh, I'm doing good. Like that's your moment. That's the moment when you know. And I had that with like there's like six people.
Oh my God,
it was a fun set though.
It sounds like it was a good night.
Yeah, no, I had a good time. I had a Star Trek joke because I started watching Star Trek recently.
Which Star Trek?
The original series.
I love the original series.
I have never watched it before. I mean, I've watched episodes. No, this is the thing. And this is something I don't talk about because I find it to be a geek shame of mine that I've never really watched any Star Trek. I've watched a handful of episodes of Next Gen. I think I've watched all the movies, including the except for the first. I've never seen the original movie.
But why?
I don't know. I heard it was bad. I started with Wrath of Khan, and then I just kept watching them. And then, yeah, I've watched all the next gen movies. I've watched all the new movies. So, and yeah, but I'd never watched the shows really. And so I just randomly, cause they have all the episodes on Netflix. So I just randomly started watching, I had watched episodes. Like I'd watched about a quarter of the first season once,
yeah,
about 4 years ago. And I really enjoyed it. And so now I'm kind of watching it again. And I do find myself actually quite, I'm actually enjoying it more than I was expecting to.
Yeah. Like a lot of people tend to enjoy it a lot more than they think they would. Like, yeah, it's hokey, but you know, it's really funny.
It's not that hokey though. That's the weirdest thing about it.
It was like really awesome for the time. That's the thing.
It's so not campy. It's amazing. You look at the colors, you look at all the sets and stuff, you imagine if you just looked at it, you imagine that it's the campiest goddamn thing in the entire world. Like it's, mm-hmm. it would make like Adam West Batman looked like the Dark Knight. Like when you see it, that's what your brain initially thinks. But they play it so earnestly and it's so mature. Like it's
But you have to admit that like when Kirk is like getting really fucking into that's when it starts getting fucking weird.
Oh my god. Yeah. There if you love hammy acting, this is the you'll get some like just ham, like just like full whole hog ham going on, like especially when you get like a guest star coming in for like one, like anytime they get a guest star, like an older ish character actor guest star coming in for an episode to play a villain or something, and that guy dies or like goes crazy, oh baby, just strap in because you're about to see some of the craziest scene chewing you'll ever. It's amazing to watch.
It's pretty awesome.
And yeah, but and it's funny, except for Leonard Nimoy, who plays it so straight, and he's so good. He's so good. Like honestly, he's amazing. And I love Kirk, but I will say this is one of the things I've okay. So I've almost compiled a mental list in my head of all the things that I've noticed about Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, as progressive as that show was,
yep,
there are some very very weird sexual politics.
Yeah,
compared to now,
like, I won't argue with that, but you know. They were the first to have like a black woman like as one of the main characters on their show.
No, racially, yes.
Yeah.
I don't hold that against the show. It's not like I'm sitting there going like, "What the fuck?" I get it. The show is almost 50 years old at this point. Like,
oh yeah, but also, what is it? I know that they were like, they were very progressive for their time. Like especially like with like how Kirk treated all of the like the female crew members. Like a lot of the time he wasn't objectifying them. Like if it's like, oh, like you allow like. This, you know, this woman on your aircraft, no, you know, she's part of, like, you know, she's one of, like, the team members. Like, he doesn't, like, completely objectify, like, a lot of the other yeomen.
There was a line in particular, an episode I watched very recently, where he went on this huge tirade about how mad he was that they gave him a female yeoman. And he was basically implying that a female yeoman is like, ugh, bitches, right? And it's just like, what the fuck? Like, there was the episode in particular that I was thinking that really made me think about this was Mudd's Women.
Oh my god!
The whole setup of Mudd's Women is really fucking weird nowadays. The idea that it's like these women and like when they get to the, this is a spoiler alert for a 50-year-old television show, when they get to the planet with the miners.
Mm-hmm.
And the miner is like so upset about the fact that they're just like, she's hideous. And I'm like, she's not that ugly at all. Like, she's fine and she's very nice. She's taking good care of you, man. Like, you don't have any. And he's just like, ah, you're hideous. Like, you're homely. And I'm like,
you're so homely.
And he's saying it as if it's like, you're a Nazi. Like, I'm like, okay, this is different. This is different from now. Like, because you could never say that. You could never have an entire episode of television devoted to women who make themselves more attractive to lure men in being evil. Like that would, like the idea of that itself, and then the resolution of that episode is what really got me, because I was like, okay, you could do this episode today. Here's how that episode ends today. That episode ends today with that dickwad miner realizing, guess what? This woman's right for me. Even though she's not, you know, she's not as beautiful as she was when she was on the friggin' Venus drug.
Oh my god.
But she's, you know, she's got a good personality. She's, you know, like the way that they've been building the chemistry between them throughout the episode with her taking care of him and like showing him different stuff and being like, look,
yeah,
this chick's got some shit going on. Like, she's got a value to you. And the end of the episode being that, guess what? You're beautiful and you don't need it. You just didn't have confidence. So it's like, I'm like, oh, and he's happy now because she's just as hot as he thought she was. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, that's how we're ending this story? Like, everybody, like, it's a happy ending because the chauvinist gets the trophy wife that he was looking for? Like, oh, God. This is a weird ending.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah, that's number one. So, and again, I get it. I'm not criticizing. I'm not sitting here saying, throwing stones and whatever. I understand that it's different. Like, and I'm fine with that. The funniest thing is I got two more points. Second one. I love the props. I love the way that they do the props. Mm-hmm. Whoever does the set dressing and all that stuff does a really, really spectacular job of creating a world of science fiction. However,
I do. However,
every once in a while, for no fucking apparent reason, they throw in the dumbest shit. And the one that got me. So there was a scene where I don't remember what episode it was in. There was a scene where Dr. McCoy is working on, I don't remember, somebody. And he pulls out this like really fancy wand thing. It's like, and then no shitting you. You can look this up. This is totally real. The next item he pulls out is an off-the-shelf spray bottle. Like an off-the-shelf like Mr. Clean spray bottle. And he just sprays the dude with the friggin' twist cap, like the twist to lock, twist to lock. Like, I'm like, oh my, are you kidding me? Like they do all this shit. And then you see, like, something that's so clearly, they just got it. Like, they just picked up a Dollar Tree on the way to the set. Just like,
oh shit, we need one of these things.
How do you go to all these lengths to make all these crazy things, but you don't bother to dress up a goddamn spray bottle? Like, and they'll do that every once in a while where they'll just throw in things that are just like, what are you thinking, man? Like they just get lazy every once in a while, which is so funny because like the rest of this stuff is so like, that's the thing I was very surprised by, was the effects are not terrible. Like, with the exception of the phaser, it's really pretty believable most of the time. I mean, yeah.
Except when they go to warp speed and everybody just kind of leans back in their chairs.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, warp speed. Obviously, they didn't have the budget for, like, CGI. Because they didn't have CGI. Oh. Computers didn't exist at this point. You got to remember that.
Oh, no. I'm just talking about, like, computer-generated imagery did not. In...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is always funny. It's like, even when they're moving fast. They seem to be moving pretty goddamn slow. I love what this is. Yeah, when they're, like, accelerating, it's like, give us warp factor 4. And it's just like, dude, you're going, like, 20 miles an hour. I love that. It's always funny to me that they do that. And, like, there was one where the episode where Kirk gets split into evil Kirk and good Kirk, or, like, basically pussy Kirk and dick Kirk.
Basically.
And I love that the alien that they have, that they collected, that they used, is just so obviously a dog. It's like... It's just a dog wearing like it looks like a dog wearing the costume they put Boo in Monsters Inc.
Yes.
And I'm just watching this going like, I get where you're going with this, but like, it takes me out of it so much sometimes. But
so
I do love. No, I have been enjoying. This is my third point, and this is the one that I think I actually have a joke in my act about something else, but I'm not gonna waste that joke.
No.
My third point is, why in the fuck is Kirk in charge?
I don't know.
Because this is what I've come to realize.
He really shouldn't be in charge.
Every single episode that I have watched, every single episode that I've ever watched has involved something happening which affects everyone on the crew except one guy.
Yep.
Spock.
Well, Spock has no emotion. He's, right. You know.
Every physical ailment they come into contact with, yep. Spock is fine.
Yeah, because, you know, he's Vulcan. And,
mind control thing they've ever come in contact with, guess what? Spock, totes fine.
Well, not later in the series. Like, there is other stuff that happens.
I spend this whole time. And what they always seem to do that is just like, it's like, oh no, we're all gonna die except him. We're all gonna, it's like, oh no, we're all incapacitated except him. Oh no, it's like, why is Spock not in charge? Like,
Spock should be in charge.
Why don't you make the guy who's immune to all of these dangers the guy who has his finger on the button? Instead of this dude who's like taking his shirt off every 15 minutes and like gets in like and like has sex with every woman who he comes in contact with, regardless of species.
Because it wouldn't be as entertaining if Spock was in charge.
I just look at this and I'm like, how in the fuck is he not the captain?
Like, how is he like not interrupted anything and just said, you know what, just sit the fuck down?
Yeah, and it's always just, and then it's every episode he's immune to whatever it is, and I just watch it going, God damn it, guys, are you not seeing a pattern here? I'm trying to think of who the most vulnerable person is, like who the person who seems to get most fucked up.
Besides Kirk,
other than the red shirts.
Well, the red shirts are there to be indispensable.
Oh, yeah, and that's true. It's like anytime – I love it on a television show, especially on like a serialized one like this, where they, if they introduce you to a character who you've never seen before and like the main characters are acting like he's an old – their old buddy and like they've got all this history together, that guy's not going to live.
Yeah, he won't live.
He's dead. He's going to die.
Consider him dead.
Yeah, it's just – it's great. It's like the Gary Mitchell is a great example of that where it's just like this guy, Gary Mitchell, you never fucking seen before. And it's just like Kirk's like, oh, he's my best friend from the academy. I'm like, oh, Gary.
I've known him forever.
He's like, he saved my life once. Oh, Gary. Oh, poor Gary.
Poor Gary.
But yeah, no, I'm definitely enjoying it. I do – it's a very good show. The plot lines are always interesting. They're thought provoking. It's a very thinking show. It's very much a thinking man's show, a thinking woman's show. I shouldn't be gender specific there.
A thinking person's show.
And it is. And I love that there was one episode I watched and I'm trying to remember what it was. I really should have done my research and been able to actually say some episode titles here so people could follow along. But
all right. Just watch the show. It's like, it's an entertaining show to watch. Like I just throw it on sometimes if I'm working because like I can still pay attention to it. Like I've seen most of the episodes, but it's entertaining. Like you can't not like it.
Yeah. There was one episode I was watching and I'm trying to remember what it was. And what I really loved about it was the actual like climax of the episode happened like really early. Like maybe halfway through the episode, like what we would consider now, like the way they would structure a television show now to be like, it's a big, like it's a threat and like a conflict. And like, actually, I think it was the Gary Mitchell episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that, or no, maybe it was a different one. But like the Gary Mitchell one is also similar to that, where it's like the, what you would consider the climax of the episode with Gary, like going fucking, you know, carry on everybody.
Yeah.
And was that like halfway through the episode? And the rest of the episode was them discussing how they would deal with that. And, like, you've seen the fallout of that. And, like, them trying to decide what, like, morally, what's right from wrong. And, like, and they did it in such a compelling way that they didn't ever bore me, hint, hint, Walking Dead.
The finale, oh, my God, the finale was, like, really weak.
Yeah, I've heard bad things. Which I'm glad, because I was right.
No, you weren't right. Like, it just... They could have done so much more.
But yeah, no, I'm very, very impressed with the show. I think, to be honest, I am the most amazing thing about it is how well it holds up.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you could watch it now, you could put it on. It still looks really good. Like it's shot on film, so obviously it transfers really well.
Yeah.
The only thing that ever takes me out of it as far as effects go is the phaser. The phaser is so bad.
Oh, the phaser is just hilarious. Yeah, that's why
the phaser looks like something you'd see on like. I'm trying to even think of a comparison point for it, but like it's worse than like you'd see in like MS Paint. If you had just gone and like MS Painted something, it would be worse. The phaser is actually worse than that. It's the only thing that I've ever seen that does it that looks completely fake. Like everything else looks plausible. they don't show you the ship very often from the outside, but when they do, it looks pretty great.
That's pretty good.
It's funny when they go to like the painted background sets are my favorite. I love the painted background stuff. But again, I don't love them from like, oh, that's hilariously bad. I love it from like, look how great that is. Like that's fucking awesome. Like this is how
it
used to be. This is how it used to be. Like this is because you can see it. Like the painted background sets. It, like this because television started off as theater. Like it's the next mm-hmm. outcropping. Then you could see it there. You're like, that's what a play looks like.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm very much enjoying it. I'm churning my way through it. I think I'm about halfway through season one. It's only three seasons too, which is weird because like that show is like has such an obviously indelible mm-hmm. legacy, but it didn't run very long.
It didn't run long. I know, like my mom was like really big into the original Star Trek, and I got her all three seasons on DVD like when they came out for her birthday. I'm like, she needs these because I'm so tired of her pulling out the fucking VHS tapes. But it's like. they really didn't run it that long, and it's like kind of surprising because like all the other series that they did for Star Trek, they ran forever.
Yeah, well, except for Generation or no, yeah. Enterprise.
Enterprise did.
Yeah,
run
Enterprise
to them,
like, was like two seasons and done, I think.
Yeah, everything else has been running for a while.
Yeah, and yeah, it's amazing to me. Like every episode, I have seen a bunch of them already, but like with a few exceptions. There are elements of every season, of every episode I've watched so far, mm-hmm. that I recognize. Like, there's been lines or... But not in a way that's, like, they're just catchphrasing. Like, they're not... Because they don't have a lot of catchphrases at this point in the show. I mean, maybe they get them later, but they don't have them yet. I think I heard, I'm a doctor, not a something else, for the first time.
Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, I'm not a blah, blah, blah.
I can't remember what it said. I think he said... But it was like, I'm a doctor, not a... I'm trying to remember what it wasn't. I'm a doctor, not a something else. It was like a reflexive thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I think that it's surprisingly good. I think I still like Next Gen better,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. Maybe I love Spock. I love Kirk.
And,
the relationship between Kirk and Spock. And I really wish I had, it actually makes me sad because I saw Wrath of Khan. Wrath of Khan was one of the first things Star Trek wise I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had never seen anything, the death of Spock, spoiler alert, Spock, I mean, come on, fuck you if you're a spoiler alert for that, actually. You know Spock dies in Wrath of Khan.
It's so sad, though.
The death of Spock is really hard to watch, and it's really sad.
It is.
But even when I didn't have any of that background knowledge about that relationship and, like, seeing them, like, grow together and, like, how much they really did like each other, I'm a little sad now because I wish I'd watched the show before because I feel like that ending would have just been devastating. Like, I feel like that would have been a most amazing moment if I had seen the Spock Kirk relationship.
Mm.
You know, but
yeah, no, it's I like the relationship that they have. Like, they're good friends and like they've gone through so much together. And then just that scene like where he's basically saying goodbye, like it hurts. It hurts to watch.
Yeah. And like I love the Spock McCoy relationship too, because McCoy and Spock seem to be way more antagonistic towards each other than Kirk ever was towards Spock. Like, and I just love the way that Spock is always just so smug about everything, and he's just so flippant about it. Where like McCoy will say something about how, oh, you're Vulcan, McCoy will make some kind of like an almost racist comment towards Spock, where he'll be I'm trying to remember one of them. There was something about his heart, where his heart is.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spock just looks at him. He doesn't get offended. He just looks at him and goes like, the fact that my anatomy differs from your own brings me like, he's like, the fact that my anatomy is different from your own is a constant source of joy for me. Just like, I love that line. That he's just like, he's like, you're different. The fact that I'm different from you makes me so happy.
Like that. And like, what is it? Like they have green blood. It's so fucking weird.
Yeah. I love that as a concept. This idea that like, they just, it's just such a great relationship. And then obviously I'm not really shattering any like new ground here be like, hey, Star Trek, pretty great, right? You know, like, but no, I'm very much enjoying it, and I'm really happy that I started to watch it on a whim. Really, I was just bored, and it was on there, and then yeah, so it's kind of just went on a whim. So
that's what I did with Matt. Like, I think I had to bake for something, and I'm like, I'm just gonna put on Star Trek. He's like, I've never watched it. I'm like, oh well, you're in for a treat. We're gonna watch a lot of Star Trek tonight.
Yeah.
And he enjoyed it. Like, just watching, like, I put on a few random episodes that I thought he'd enjoy. Like, of course, he put on The Trouble with Tribbles.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves that episode.
Yeah. That's, so, I haven't seen that one. The one I'm looking forward to, I've never seen it, but I've heard a lot about it. And the premise of it alone makes me, like, really, really interested.
Yeah.
Is the one where they land on that planet where they don't have war anymore. And mm-hmm. they have, like, the killing machine.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've heard that described in, like, philosophy stuff. And like the way that they sound like they do, I'm really, that's the episode I'm looking forward to more than anything is that episode. Cause I feel like that's gonna be my favorite episode.
It might be
just the way that they deal with that. And like the whole, like, and yeah, I already kind of know what Kirk, his whole speech at the end. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's funny watching what like was considered sexy 50 years ago as well.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Cause I don't know if William Shatner was considered sexy at the time.
I think maybe a little bit, but not.
I know he considered himself sexy.
He considered himself.
It's quite clear that he considered himself sexy at the time. Because there's that whole episode where he's with when he gets split into Kirk and Evil Kirk. I keep saying it's not because it's not, but it's not like really, it's but... Pussy Kirk and Dick Kirk. And he's like basically walking around with his shirt off for like the first half of the episode.
Those really high-waisted pants.
Oh, that's the other funny thing too is like, again, with the gender politics, it's funny. It's like they're so progressive, and yet the skirts that all the women are wearing are just like, okay, then. Like, that article of clothing is doing literally nothing.
It's doing absolutely nothing for you.
Yeah. It is as incidental as like it's like the wisdom tooth of clothing. It's there, it doesn't really do anything, and if it was not there, if it wasn't there, you know what? Probably wouldn't be any much of a difference. But yeah, it's a good show. I honestly do think we could spend an entire episode just talking about William Shatner. Like,
we probably could.
Like, just the thing, and we were talking about this. We had a little bit of a tech snap right there, and we watched a video. Like, oh my God. Like, yeah, like William Shatner is just like, what he thinks is happening in this show versus what everyone else seems to think is going on is staggering. And the thing is, it's funny, is he's good. Like, he's not bad. Like, it's not like the funny thing about it is like he's doing a good job. And obviously Captain Kirk is a great character. And part of that is the William Shatner-ness of it. But like the shit he does is hilarious. Like the thing though that gets me though is the outfits. Like his outfits are amazing. Like
amazing. I don't know if it's the right fucking word.
I think to me they're amazing because and then we were talking about this during the break. It's like the difference between Kirk and Spock. Spock always wears the same clothes. And as far as I can tell,
he's always in his uniform. Yeah.
Leonard Nimoy looks jacked. There was one episode where he was like wearing just a t-shirt after they were detoxifying or whatever the fuck after a mission or something. And you see Leonard Nimoy without his like sweater on, and like, dude, that guy looks jacked. Like,
they
were
all in pretty decent shape.
But like, but Shatner's just walking around with like skin tight,
all the time.
My favorite thing about Captain Kirk is that weird green thing that he wears sometimes. I spent an entire episode just trying to figure out whose idea that green blouse was.
It was terrible. It's so ugly.
It's the funniest piece of clothing I think I've ever seen in my entire life. You know he's sitting there as he's sitting in that captain's chair between takes going, I am sexy. Like, he's just sexy. Like, I look so good right now. Like,
I look so good.
I just, because it's so funny. Like, you can see when you watch the show what a fundamental cock he must have been to work with. Like, it just radiates through the screen because like the way that Kirk is just so smugly satisfied with everything, it's just like you could just feel Shatner just like, I am so amazing at everything right now. And like, it works for the character though. It really does. It's like, it's interesting like to watch that now because obviously at the time it wasn't as widely known that he was such a douchebag. Like, to him especially, he had no idea that everyone hated him. It's so funny because, yeah, this is the way that he acts and the way that everyone is like, he's treated as if he's like, there's so many like loving shots of his face where it's just like, look at how sexy he is. And it's just like, oh my God, this is just, it must turn him into a monster. But this is a question I was asking before. Do you think this is a kid's show? At its core?
I don't think so.
Because I thought it was, and I get where, like, and like, I know a lot of kids grew up watching it, but there's one episode, and I keep coming back to this one episode, but it's a good episode, the one with Pussy Kirk and Dick Kirk, where a major portion of that episode's plot is devoted to Dick Kirk trying to rape Yeoman Rand.
Like, yeah, no, I don't know if it's really, like, a kid's show.
It's not, it'd be one thing if it was implicit. But it's quite explicit. Like,
I think it's one of those like mature, like TVM rated shows.
You see the whole thing. Like, it's not like you just see like him walking into like her cabin, and then the door closes, and you hear her scream, and then you hear he comes out with scratches on his face, and you're like, oh, he clearly tried to do something bad, and then she scratched him. No, you see the whole thing play out, and it's a long scene. Like, it's a very long scene, and like I'm sitting there watching this, going, how the fuck did they get away with this? Like. And then the explanation afterwards when she's talking about it, you're just like, this is very adult. Like, this is like this is a serious conversation that would happen on, like, Breaking Bad or something. But it's happening ostensibly on a kid's show.
Yeah, it's weird.
But yeah, it's a fantastic show. I do enjoy it very much.
Yeah, I'm glad. It's really good.
I'm hard-pressed to come up with my favorite character. I love Kirk. I do. Kirk is just such a great... He's such a great
Spock
character.
Spock is my favorite. I like Spock and McCoy.
Spock, to me, Spock is the obvious best character. Like, he's the obvious...
the obvious best character.
It goes back to my whole, like, why the hell is Spock not in charge discussion? Like, because you can't give me a single reason why he's not in charge. Like, you cannot... There's nothing you could tell me that I'm like, okay, why is this guy not in charge? Because, like... And the other thing, like, oh, he's got no emotion, therefore he can't lead. We've seen him lead before. Like, and he's been
a good leader, really but good honestly, I don't think it would be as entertaining if he was leading.
That's the problem, is that it wouldn't That's be entertaining. That's the problem. But, like, the show... I think the movies did a job of this, trying to... Like, the movies, the J.J. Abrams... The more... Actually, now that I think about that, the J.J. Abrams movies, especially the first one, was very much just about that. Was about why is Kirk in charge and not Spock? That was a major plot point of that movie, was dealing with why Kirk is in charge and not Spock. And even in that movie, it wasn't really all that clear. Like, it wasn't really...
Yeah, no.
Like, there's this idea that, like, when Kirk really needs to, at the last moment, he can summon up this, like, extra thing that pushes him over the edge and, like... But, like, there's so many... Yeah, but what about the 99 instances in between where, like, Kirk is rendered completely useless and Spock has to save everyone's lives?
Yeah...
Yeah, it's good. One more last thing. There was an episode where they it was the Gary Mitchell episode, I think, where no, it was the naked now, the one where they lost all their inhibitions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that one.
The single greatest hazmat suits ever committed. The single worst hazmat suits ever in anything. I'm watching this thing, and Spock and another guy beam down, and they're wearing these, like, there's basically just these hazmat suits that are, like, loose as shit, made of bubble wrap. And, like, and the moment that really got me was at one point, the dude takes his glove off and just sticks his hand underneath the hood. There's nothing connecting the head part to the body part. It's just flapping around, and I'm like, "What is the point of these things?" Like, he takes his hand and he just puts it into the suit underneath this open, exposed area, and just scratches his face. And I'm like, "Oh my god, I love this show!" Like, it's little moments like that in the spray bottle are just little moments that I'm like, oh my god, what were you thinking? Like,
oh, this show
faux show.
Oh, Star Trek.
Oh, Star Trek.
Star Trek.
We should, okay, so here's what we're gonna do for the last little bit of the show, because we don't have a lot of time left. So I briefly want to hear your take on the Walking Dead finale. Very, very spoiler free. Just basically idea, you know, what was blah, blah, blah. I'll briefly talk about the How I Met Your Mother finale.
Well, I wanted to know what happens. You can tell me after the show.
Okay, I'll tell you what happens after the show. All right, so do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first if you want.
So, yeah.
So, kind of lead me if you really feel like I'm getting too spoilery.
So you mentioned when we were talking about Walking Dead, or when we briefly brought it up earlier, oh, that finale. So I'm going to take it you didn't like it very much.
I was let down.
Okay.
I was pretty let down because I felt like they could have done a lot more with the material that they were given, because they get to a certain point actually in the comics, which is kind of like it's an ongoing thing, but they meet these group of people. Like, you know that they're going to Terminus. They get to Terminus, and of course it's not what they think it is. It's always but it's a specific group of people in the comic that they actually meet, and I'm like really surprised they included it, and I was wishing they would include it, but how they left it off, it felt so mediocre and left so much stuff open, which I know that they have to do for the next season, but at the same time, like, they could have just taken it a little further to give you that little bit of an edge to keep you on your seat to want to watch the next season.
So would you say that your problem isn't that, so this is, I'm trying to get a sense of what, because when the finale, it's always the idea of what's coming next, so in your opinion, do you think that the finale, the problem you had with it was because you don't like what the story is going? You think the story itself is lame, or do you think it was just poorly constructed at facilitating that story?
I think it's poorly constructed.
Okay. So it's not necessarily that it's bad. It's not poorly written. It's just that they probably could have they edited it badly, and they should have figured out beats better.
Exactly. Like, you know, like when you have like a certain thing and you just want to like, okay, let's say like you're making a movie out of a book or something like that. Like, take Harry Potter, for example. Like, they omitted a lot of pretty important stuff that you kind of need to know for certain parts of the book and for like for certain characters. So you can be like, oh, I totally understand what's happening right now. Like, I don't, you know, there's nothing that's leaving me like gaping plot holes or anything like that. It's more like they're kind of taking what they think everybody's going to really love, and they just slam it all in there without thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, we need to get all this stuff in right now, blah, blah, blah. And we have to just make sure that everybody is reunited. And then that's it.
So that's probably too much of a spoiler. But
it's not really like...
So would you say that... So the sense I'm getting then is that this is... a bad episode, but not indicative of a bad series. Like, the series itself, quality is not affected whatsoever in your mind by this episode.
The series was pretty decent. Like, they had some really good episodes, and they had some really, like, meh episodes. But this is one of those meh episodes where, like, it could have been handled a lot better.
Yeah, and it's just unfortunate that happens at the end.
It is.
Okay. I think that's a good, yeah. I think that's everything that we could probably say about it without getting into spoilery details.
Yeah.
I
could tell you like after the show, like who they were.
Yeah. No, I think I got an all right idea. So,
all right.
Since you know that I swore off the show,
mm-hmm.
and we've had a long ongoing discussion about whether or not that was a correct decision to make, I'm still steadfast. I haven't watched any of it.
I kind of wish you would only watch the episode of The Grove. Like, that was okay. A really good episode.
But overall, you wouldn't say, dude, you got to jump back on.
I would say if you, there are like a handful of episodes where like I think you would enjoy, but I don't feel like it could basically redeem the show for you, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying there. Okay, all right, so that's the finale. You're looking forward to season 5? Jesus Christ,
I kind of am, only because I want to see what they do. Part of the comic.
Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit. So
I am. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Again. Back to the beginning of the show.
Shut up.
Apologizing for things she has no control over.
Shut up.
All right. So if you have anything more you want to say about that?
No, I think I've pretty much said everything I can without totally spoiling.
Without revealing all the dirty little secrets.
Yeah. If you really want to talk Walking Dead, you could catch me on Facebook.
Okay. So we are going to transition, and this is going to be as hard of a transition as I think you could ever make. We're going to transition from talking about Walking Dead to talking about How I Met Your Mother.
God damn it. yeah, so I heard that ended recently. Like, did they reveal who the mother is?
So it ended Monday.
Yeah.
After a nine-season run, which is absurdly long for any kind of show.
It is absurdly long.
So I watched the finale live, and it was an hour long,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the half hour that it normally is.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've heard anything about it.
I've just heard like,
Yeah, it was awful.
Really?
Yes. It was terrible. It was really, 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 really bad. Like, really bad. Like, really bad. Like, in the consideration, and I thought there's always a problem whenever you watch something like this that you hyperbolize, and it's like, you know, you go, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
If you need evidence of this, just look at the internet at any given point at any ever, and you'll find many examples of what I'm talking about. I sat there watching this episode, and at the end of it, I said, this may have been one of the worst series finales I've ever seen. And at the time, I was sitting there going, okay, I just watched it too soon. Like, you know, give yourself time to reflect, think about it. Calm down. And the farther away I've gotten, the more I'm convinced this was one of the worst finales I've ever seen.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's awful. It's really terrible. It's not funny.
Really?
No, it's not. Okay, so the entire last season of How I Met Your Mother has been bad. There's been in the same way that you kind of way you described how The Walking Dead, but mm-hmm. way worse, like way worse. Like the idea that like, oh, there's a couple episodes that you'd be like, oh, that's a good one. You'd point that to that one, mm-hmm. to someone who hadn't watched it. You'd be like, oh, hey, I'm thinking about jumping back in. And you'd be like, hey, maybe watch those episodes. The rest of it, you could just skip.
Yeah, no, like I've skipped around with How I Met Your Mother. Like there are only like a handful of episodes that I actually really like.
Yeah. The ending though is it's very strange because they spent an entire season stretching out a one premise idea. Like the premise idea, spoiler alert if you're not caught up, is Barney and Robin are getting married.
Oh.
And the entire ninth season takes place immediately prior to and during the wedding. Mm-hmm. So an entire season of television takes place over the course of a weekend.
God damn it.
And you feel it. You really feel them padding it out. Like you can feel it. Like you, at a certain point, you just like, okay, can we just get these goddamn people married already so we can move on? Like you really do. They try to intersperse it with other stuff, but it's you really do feel it. And then the finale is like this weirdly overstuffed montage of different things that happen. Basically, so the finale is like, so you got all this time. So you take an entire ninth season to build up one weekend of Barney and Robin's wedding. Mm-hmm. And then the finale is like everything that happens between that moment and when Ted is telling the story. They okay. show you everything that happens for like a decade and a half.
God damn it.
And it just feels like you're watching the finale and you're just like, what the fuck? Like, it's just like bang, 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 bang. And like, I'm like, at the end of it, I'm like, why the fuck did you stretch out this wedding for so long? You could have just done this whole scene. Like, that's the thing that made me more frustrated was like, you saw ideas and they had ideas and like, there was a good finale. There was a good season there. There was a good finale there. They just fucked it up so much, and they wrote it so badly that, like, and it retroactively ruins a lot of the show.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, and I don't like saying that because I think that's often a hyperbolic statement, but I'm trying to think of what I can say without spoiling it. Because it's very hard not to spoil the ending. Let's just say this, that the ending, once you know the ending,
mm-hmm.
it's impossible to watch the rest of the show the
really?
Same way. And it's impossible to enjoy the show the same way. And I would argue it's impossible to enjoy most of the show at all.
Mm.
again, yeah, I'm trying to dance around the issues here a lot. Because I don't want to just give outright spoilers because not everyone has seen it. But those who have seen it know exactly what I'm talking about. Those who haven't, they're like, what the fuck? When I finished watching the episode, the first thing I did was I walked upstairs to my mother, she's 6 or 7 episodes back. She's trying to catch up, and yeah. she was watching about 6 or 7 episodes back. And I walked up to her and I shut her computer screen and I said, "Just stop. Just don't. Not worth it. Don't do it. Just stop watching. It's over." Because it's that bad. It's the kind of thing where I would not tell people to watch it. I would tell people who like the show to not watch it because I think that it will ruin the show. I'm really trying hard not to spoil things, but I there's so much I want to talk about spoiler wise. What it smacks though to me is that the people who make this show have no idea why people watch it.
I don't know why people watch it.
Well, and I do, but I used to watch because it used to be. I watched it. I'm one of those. I'm watching it only because of a momentum and inertia at this point. Like I'm just watching it because I watched it. And I'm like, you know, like when it for me crossed the line where like I was no longer enjoying it at all. Mm-hmm. It was so close to the end that I'm like, well, I'm just going to power through and find out how it ends. And I really wish I hadn't, to be honest. Like I really do. What can I say without spoiling it? There's a decision that is made that is so clearly a calculated decision,
mm-hmm.
not an emotional decision, not a character decision. It smacks of a decision that was made a long time ago, and the writers were unwilling or unable to deviate from it. And the ending feels so forced and feels so out of sync with the rest of the show and so wildly a bad idea that you just sit there and you go like, but the thing is, it's weird is that just like in the last season, there are a lot of moments that in the actual finale that are really, really good. There's one scene in particular involving Barney that I don't want to say what happens because it's kind of a spoiler, but it's really, really good. It's like it's a really great scene, and Neil Patrick Harris just delivers the hell out of it. It's well written, it's clever, it's so good. It's a very emotionally satisfying scene, and you know it really is very moving. And it's weird to think like then watch the guys who made that scene make the rest of the episode. I will say, because this is what's weird about it is like the weirdest things. Because like there's things that are good because I really liked the scene where when they finally did the scene where he meets the mom. I really liked that. I thought that was really well done. I thought it was funny. It was sweet. It was like they immediately, because the thing is, you met the mother at the beginning of the season or the end of last season.
Really?
Ted didn't meet the mother, but the audience did. They showed her, and she's been a character throughout the last season. And then the end, yeah. So then the whole thing, but Ted, it was leading up to Ted meeting her because he met her immediately following Robin and Barney's wedding.
Goddamn.
But the scene with the actual How I Met Your Mother scene, like the actual This Is How I Met Your Mother, is really good. Like really good. Like really good. And if that had been the ending, I think a lot of people would have walked away not going like, that was great. They would have walked away going, I'm satisfied. I am satisfied with this ending. But it keeps going. And the actual ending is like, is what everyone's so upset about. Like the actual ending is like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. So if you're a fan of How I Met Your Mother and you're plowing through and you haven't seen the finale yet and you're trying to get through and watch it, I honestly would tell you, don't. You know, I know you're not. That sounds weird to say. And I know you'll probably just do it anyway, but just don't. It's not worth it. It'll make you hate the show in retrospect. It'll make you less able to go back and remember fondly the things you enjoyed about it because of the way that it reframes everything at the end.
That kind of sucks.
That's about as specific as I can get without getting into spoilers. I'll tell you about it afterwards, but
I'd like to hear it only because like I'm not going to watch it, but I am very curious.
So I think that's as much as I want to say. It's a really disappointing finale of a show, but you know, this is the other thing. Sorry, what?
Am I lagging?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, great.
This is what I'll say. People on the internet, and I'm one of them who are getting so angry about this and like so, it seems so genuinely surprised by the badness of the finale. How did you not see this coming? You know, the show has been bad for longer than it was good almost at this point.
Yeah.
And it's this last season has been particularly bad, and the writing was on the wall for a lot of the things that happened in the finale. A lot of the things that people are upset about, like I'll say one of the major thing, I saw that coming like 2 seasons ago.
Really?
I predicted that 2 seasons ago, but now I'm not saying that as if like I am the shit. I'm saying that as in I'm really disappointed that this is how they went.
Because
I saw this coming and like I wasn't happy with it. It seemed like, yeah, I'll get into that afterwards, but yeah. We should have seen it coming. It was not a good show at the end, so it was a bad finale, but yeah. I want to get into it more spoiler talking with you afterwards, but
we could do that.
All right, so let's call an end to this episode of the Braingasm Podcast.
Sounds good.
Yeah. My name has been Ben.
And I've been Chuck.
Cheska, sorry, you cut it a little there. You can follow me on Twitter at BraingasmBen. Fun thing that happened to me. You know, I listen to a lot of Kevin Smith podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I listen to one called Edumacation. I think I've talked about it on the show.
Yeah, you have.
I tweeted the guy with the co-host of that show. I tweeted him a question just out of the top of my head, and he actually read it on the. They read it and answered it on the episode.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And Kevin, he was like, and they said my Twitter name and everything. So it was like. And Kevin Smith's like, that is a good question. And it led to like a really, really good discussion. The question I asked was, why is it that the hair on your body stops growing at a certain point, but the hair on your head seems to keep growing forever?
That's actually really, really good.
And they explained it, and it's interesting. And I actually, yeah. So I'm trying to remember what episode it was. I think it was the most recent one. The one, there's a lot of poo flinging talk on that episode. Yeah. My question came in during the why section. So if you want to go listen to that, absolutely go listen to that. So I'm famous now. So there's that. Gasm of Thrones. Gasm of Thrones. Tuesday. Gasm of Thrones is back on Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen.
Tuesday
will probably be the day that we release the episodes for the foreseeable future. I know particularly until I'm done school, it will absolutely be the earliest day. The thing is, I want to release them as early as possible, as concurrent with the episodes as possible. I don't want to release it like Saturday and then the next episode's on the next day. So as my schedule currently stands, Tuesday is the earliest possible day. So Tuesday is the day that Kurt and I are locked in for that. So when my school schedule opens up, there might be an opportunity to move it to Monday, mm-hmm. but Tuesday seems like a good day. So look forward to that on Tuesday. We'll have episode one, I don't know what episode we're at the Gasm of Thrones. I don't know how we're going to number Gasm of Thrones too. We have to talk about Kurt about that. I'll talk to him afterwards. So look forward to that on Tuesday. So if you're not familiar with Gasm of Thrones, it's our Game of Thrones supplemental podcast I do with a friend of mine named Kurt Hall, who's a Hamilton comedian. We started doing it last year. I think we did two episodes before the end of Game of Thrones season three.
One of them.
So what we're going to do, what we do every week now is we will break down the episode, talk about it, crack jokes. Kurt and I, if you've ever heard us talk, very jokey kind of banter between the two of us. Nothing will be taken seriously. many jokes will be cracked. Many pompous balloons will be popped. So it's fun. We'll recap the episodes, talk about it. And then we'll also discuss, because Kurt and I have both read the books. So there'll be a section of the show probably at the end where we, you know, kind of compare it to the books and talk about different things. We're going to try the problem with the show is the way they've done it is that you never know if something, there are certain things that are like markers for where they are in the book.
Yeah.
But the problem is that, and this happened, I think this happened to us last time where we talked about something and then, cause it happened chronologically earlier in the book and we passed it. And then we felt okay talking about it, and then they did it in a later episode. So
really?
Well, fuck. We kind of screwed that one up.
That's fucking weird, man.
So it's difficult to discuss. So spoilers with that show are always kind of a difficult one. But if you're – don't worry if you're not a book reader. We won't – there'll be no book spoilers in the main show. That'll be a special thing just for the book readers. So we're planning on doing one for every episode and then maybe a wrap up one. So yeah, so you're looking forward to that. It'll be on the Braingasm podcast feed on iTunes. It'll be on the Braingasm podcast feed on Stitcher, on our Facebook page. So wherever you go to get Braingasm, that's where you're going to go to get Gasm of Thrones. It's going to be right there for you.
Basically everything.
It's going to be fun. I'm very much looking forward to it.
It sounds like fun.
I'm excited.
I'm tempted to listen to it even though I don't watch.
You should watch. That's the thing.
I don't have HBO.
We could talk about that. I think that's it for my plugs.
All right.
Show plugs. Sorry.
Follow the show on
Twitter at Braingasm Pod. Like us on Facebook. Go on there. We post some stuff up there every once in a while. We post fun stuff and you know other stuff. We passed 100 a couple weeks ago. That was cool.
100.
And that's the show plugs.
Yep. Okay. I'm Jessica. You can follow me on Twitter at OSugar, OHHSUGAR at twitter.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at jailhouserockabetty.tumblr.com. You can friend me on Facebook and we could talk about Walking Dead because Ben doesn't want to talk about Walking Dead with me.
I don't. I'm a mean, mean, mean man.
He's a terrible host. Talk to me about my things that I like.
That's right. And I command her to do things. And I demand she apologize for things that she has no control over.
Exactly. But I think that's pretty much it for me. I'm still not taking commissions if anybody is thinking about it. I just don't have the time, nor do I really care at this point. Like, I have stuff I have to finish, and I have stuff for school I got to do. But I think that's it for me.
All right. Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of the Braingasm Podcast. Good night.
Good night.
Live long and prosper.
Aw.